brought us a lot. Guy Lombardo, every New Year's Eve. Phil Spitalmi and his all-girl.
Hi, I'm Jack from Saugerties, and I'm at the radio station with my sister Katie. You're listening to WGXC Aqua. Have a nice day!
Tune in to Radio for Open Ears, Monday, March 18th. Brendan Donegan gets things going with the Morning Sampler at 11 a.m. Then Lincoln Mayorga has the Monday Musical Matinee after the new news on 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Philip Grant of Nassau, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that four Columbia County villages hold elections for trustees and mayors on Tuesday, March 19th. Philmont and Chatham are the only village with candidates competing for positions, while in Kinderhook and Valencia, candidates are running unopposed. The Columbia County Board of Elections is supervising the village elections in Chatham, while Kinderhook, Philmont, and Valencia village officials supervise their own elections. Polls are open from noon to 9 p.m., In Chatham, John Howe is running without opposition for mayor. Current trustee Peter Minahan, who was appointed to his seat to fill a vacancy, is running for one of two seats, as are Jamie Bohem and Jody Russell. Melanie Spock and Joseph Cerami are seeking the available one-year term as trustee. Voting in Chatham is at the Tracy Memorial Building, 77 Main Street. In Philmont, Mayor Charles Skip Speed is up against Town Supervisor Robin Andrews for a two-year term as mayor. Three candidates are up for two trustee seats in Philmont. Incumbent Douglas Cropper and Larry Ostrander and Heath Iverson are vying for two-year terms. Voting is in the Village Hall, 124 Main Street. In Kinderhook, David Flattery and Dale R. Lizer are running for two trustee seats, which are two-year terms. Voting is in Village Hall, 6 Chatham Street. In Valencia, Mayor Diane Argyle and incumbent trustee Fred Bevins and Larry Ellaby are all unopposed for re-election for two-year terms in the positions they now hold. Voting in Valencia is at the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building on Church Street. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. The Greene County Board of Elections holds village elections in Athens, Catskill, Coxsackie, and Tannersville, March 19th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. In Athens, three candidates are running for mayor: Stephen L. Bradidich on the Democratic and Independence lines, Peter Alberti on the Republican line, and Norman A. Benjamin Jr. on the Norman Benjamin line. Democrats Joshua B. Lipsman and Amy Sarigo, also on the independent line, are up against Republican Shannon A. Spinner and Robert A. Scott. In Catskill, Vincent J. Seeley and Natasha L. Law are on the Democratic and Independence lines for trustees against Stanley R. Duchesne and Daniel M. Shanley Jr. on the Republican and Constitution lines. Republican Richard C. Paolino Jr. is unopposed to town justice. In Coxsackie, there are no contests, just three candidates. Republican Mark R. Evans is the only candidate for mayor, and Democrat Donald A. Doust and Republican Stephen B. Hunt are the only candidates for the two trustee positions. In Tannersville, two candidates from the Right Choice Party, Clifton Thompson and John F. Palamo Sr., take on David P. Cashman and Gregory Landers, who are Democrats, for two seats. Landers is also on the watchful eye line. Lee E. McGonigal is running unopposed for mayor again on the Democratic and watchful eye lines. Noreen M. Valchich, a Democrat, is the only candidate for town justice.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Sunday with a high of 35 and a low around 21. Monday should also be mostly sunny with a high of 37, a low around 18. And Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 36 and a low around 17. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM Radio for Open Ears. Tune in on St. Patrick's Day. Tony Fallon will be live with the Irish Show from ACRA at 8 p.m. on the radio. St. Patrick's Day night, 8 p.m. on 90.7 FM. Tune in, Tony Fallon and the Irish Show.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare a emergency to exist.
promessa que me cala. O amor foi recebido, apesar do que tu calas. O amor foi recebido, apesar do que tu calas.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And every week, I'm here with my teen friends talking about books. Books we love, books we're reading, other bookish things, all that good stuff. And today I'm by myself because school commitments got in the way of recording with the teens this week. But what I'm going to do today is to share some books coming out this month that I think sound pretty exciting. So first up, we have Shout by Laurie Hulse Anderson. It's a searing poetic memoir and call to action from the best-selling and award-winning author of Speak. Best-selling author Laurie Hulse Anderson is known for the unflinching way she writes about and advocates for survivors of sexual assault. Now, inspired by her fans and enraged by how little in our culture has changed since her groundbreaking novel Speak was first published 20 years ago, she has written a poetry memoir that is as vulnerable as it is rallying, as timely as it is timeless. In free verse, Anderson shares reflections, rants, and calls to action woven between deeply personal stories from her life that she's never written about before. Searing and soul-searching, this important memoir is a denouncement of our society's failures and a love letter to all the people with the courage to say, hashtag me too and hashtag time's up, whether aloud, online, or only in their own hearts. Shout speaks truth to power in a loud, clear voice, and once you hear it, it is impossible to ignore. And I love a good memoir, and I love a good verse novel. So I'm excited for this one. And I read Speak many years ago. I don't think it was 20 years ago. I don't think I read it when it first came out. But it's a very powerful novel that's still a popular, sort of a classic YA novel. And I wanted to read a little bit from the introduction for the book. So she writes, "Finding my courage to speak up 25 years after I was raped, writing Speak and talking with countless survivors of sexual violence made me who I am today. This book shows how that happened. It's filled with the accidents, serendipities, bloodlines, tidal waves, sunrises, disasters, passport stamps, criminals, cafeterias, nightmares, fever dreams, readers, portents, and whispers that have shaped me so far. My father wrote poetry too. He gave me these guidelines. We must be gentle with the living, but the dead own their truth and are fearless. So I've written honestly about the challenges my parents faced and how their struggles affected me. The poems that reference people other than me or my family are truth told slant. I've muddled specific details to protect the identities of survivors. This is the story of a girl who lost her voice and wrote herself a new one." And then she dives in with a prelude, mic test. "This book smells like me, wood smoke, salt, honey and strawberries, sunscreen, libraries, failures and sweat, green nights in the mountains, cold dawns by the sea. This book reeks of my fear, of depression's black dogs howling, and the ancient shame's riding, my back, their claws, buried deep. This book is yesterday's mud, dried on the dance floor, the step patterns cautiously submitted for your curious investigation of what I feel like on the inside. That's just a peek inside the book. I'm very excited to read this new memoir from Laurie Halse Anderson. She's a terrific author. Next up, we have Internment by Samira Ahmed. Rebellions are built on hope. Set in a horrifying near-future United States, 17-year-old Layla Amin and her parents are forced into an internment camp for Muslim American citizens. With the help of newly made friends, also trapped within the internment camp, her boyfriend on the outside, and an unexpected alliance, Layla begins a journey to fight for freedom, leading a revolution against the internment camp's director and his guards. Heart racing and emotional, Internment challenges readers to fight complicit silence that exists in our society today. Whew. It has a beautiful cover as well. I know we shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but we can congratulate the publishers on picking an excellent cover for the book. And I'll read the first little bit from this book as well. I strain to listen for boots on the pavement, stomping, marching, but there's nothing. Only the familiar chirp of the crickets and the occasional fading rumble of a car in the distance, and a rustle so faint I can't tell if it's the wind or the anxious huff of my breath. But everywhere it's the same as it's always been. The perfectly manicured lawn of Center Square, the gazebo's twinkling fairy lights, the yellow beams from the porch lamps at every door. In the distance I see a funnel of smoke rising into the air. Most of the town is at the book burning, so I should be safe. Or at least safer. I don't measure time by the old calendar anymore. I don't look at the date. There's only then and now. There's only what we once were and what we have become. 2.5 years since the election, 2 years since the Nazis marched on D.C., 18 months since the Muslim ban, 1 year since our answers on the census landed us on the registry, 9 months since the first book burning, 6 months since the exclusion laws were enacted, 5 months since the Attorney General argued that Korematsu versus United States established precedent for relocation of citizens during times of war, 3 months since they started firing Muslims from public sector jobs, 2 months since a virulent Islamophobe was sworn in as Secretary of War, a cabinet position that hasn't existed since World War II, 1 month since the President of the United States gave a televised speech to Congress declaring that Muslims are a threat to America. And this book has received several starred reviews from Kirkus, Booklist, Publishers Weekly, School Library Journal, sort of all of the major book reviewers. Publishers Weekly called the book an unsettling and important book for our times. Booklist wrote a poignant, necessary story that paints a very real, very frank picture of hatred and ignorance, while also giving readers and marginalized individuals hope. So that's good. I was reading the start of the story and feeling really hopeless. So I'm glad that this reader believes that it provides some hope, because that's so important. Next up, we have a historical fiction novel called Lovely War by Julie Barry, a sweeping multi-layered romance set in the perilous days of World Wars I and II, where gods hold the fates and the hearts of four mortals in their hands. They are Hazel, James, Aubrey, and Colette, a classical pianist from London, a British would-be architect turned soldier, a Harlem-born ragtime genius in the U.S. Army, and a Belgian orphan with a gorgeous voice and a devastating past. Their story, as told by goddess Aphrodite, who must spin the tale or face judgment on Mount Olympus, is filled with hope and heartbreak, prejudice and passion, and reveals that though war is a formidable force, it's no match for the transcendent power of love. Author Julie Barry's critically acclaimed writing has been called haunting and unforgettable, and utterly original and instantly engrossing. Sounds so interesting. It's fun when the narrator is sort of an omniscient narrator, but a specific omniscient narrator. So I feel like often there's these narrators that are just sort of hovering above the scenes that know all. But it's interesting when it's a goddess or a god or death. And I like a good historical fiction now and again. It's not my go-to genre, but when it's done well, I really enjoy it. And they're some of my favorite books. So I'll definitely be checking that one out. And next up, we have a sweet little romance called Field Notes on Love by Jennifer E. Smith. It's the perfect idea for a romantic week together, traveling across America by train. But then Hugo's girlfriend dumps him, her parting gift, the tickets for their long-planned last hurrah before a uni trip. only it's been booked under her name, non-transferable, no exceptions. May is still reeling from being rejected from USC's film school when she stumbles across Hugo's ad for a replacement, Margaret Campbell, her full name. She's certain it's exactly the adventure she needs to shake off her disappointment and jumpstart her next film. A cross-country train trip with a complete stranger might not seem like the best idea, but to May and Hugo, both eager to escape their regular lives, it makes perfect sense. What starts as a convenient arrangement soon turns into something more. But when life outside the train catches up to them, can they find a way to keep their feelings for each other from getting derailed? And like with Lovely War, romance or like romantic comedies are not my go-to reading genre, but I loved Jennifer Smith's The Statistical Probability of Love at First Sight. It was such a fun, cute read. Very sweet, wonderful characters. So I might give this one a try. I also like a good road trip story. It sort of reminds me of one of my favorite Bollywood movies, Queen, where a young woman is broken up with right before her wedding and decides to go on her honeymoon by herself. Although I guess in this case, they're going on the trip with another person. So it's a little different, but fun all the same. So that's Field Notes on Love by Jennifer E. Smith. So next up we have Heroine by Mindy McInnes, a captivating and powerful exploration of the opioid crisis, the deadliest drug epidemic in American history, through the eyes of a college-bound softball star. Edgar Award-winning author Mindy McInnes delivers a visceral and necessary novel about addiction, family, friendship, and hope. When a car crash sidelines Mickey just before softball season, she has to find a way to hold on to her spot as the catcher for a team expected to make a historic tournament run. Behind the plate is the only place she's ever felt comfortable, and the painkillers she's been prescribed can help her get there. The pills do more than take away pain. They make her feel good. With a new circle of friends, fellow injured athletes, others with just time to kill, Mickey finds peaceful acceptance and people with whom words come easily, even if it is just the pills loosening her tongue. But as the pressure to be Mickey Catalan heightens, her need increases, and it becomes less about pain and more about want, something that could send her spiraling out of control. You know, I first heard about this book, I wasn't especially interested, even though it sounds great and it's gotten wonderful reviews, but I've heard some good feedback from people who have read it, so I think I might just try it out. So now I have two books that actually came out at the very end of February, so they're not this month releases, but they are exciting all the same and fairly new. So first up, I have Rain and Delilah's Midnight Matinee by Jeff Zentner. Every Friday night, best friends Delia and Josie become Rain Ravenscroft and Delilah Darkwood, hosts of the campy creature feature show Midnight Matinee on the local cable station TV6. But with the end of senior year quickly approaching, the girls face tough decisions about their futures. Josie has been dreading graduation as she tries to decide whether to leave for a big university and chase her dream career in mainstream TV. And Lawson, one of the show's guest performers, a talented MMA fighter with weaknesses for pancakes, fantasy novels, and Josie, is making her tough decision even harder. Scary Movies are the last connection Delia has to her dad, who abandoned the family years ago. If Midnight Matinee becomes a hit, maybe he'll see it and want to be a part of her life again. And maybe Josie will stay with the show instead of leaving her behind too. As the tug of war between growing up and growing apart tests the bonds of their friendship, Josie and Delia start to realize that an uncertain future can be both monstrous and momentous. And I'm excited about this one, both because of the description, but also I really liked the debut novel by Jeff Zentner called Serpent King. And this is his follow-up to that. So I'm curious to see if this is an author I'll want to follow longer term. And it's received some great reviews from various publications and authors, so excited about it. So next up, we have a romantic fantasy debut by Taylor K. Mejia called We Set the Dark on Fire. At the Medio School for Girls, distinguished young women are trained for one of two roles in their polarized society. Depending on her specialization, a graduate will one day run a husband's household or raise his children. Both paths promise a life of comfort and luxury, far from the frequent political uprisings of the lower class. Daniela Vargas is the school's top student, but her pedigree is a lie. She must keep the truth hidden or be sent back to the fringes of society. and school couldn't prepare her for the difficult choices she must make after graduation, especially when she is asked to spy for a resistance group desperately fighting to bring equality to Medio. Will Dani cling to the privilege her parents fought to win for her, or will she give up everything she strived for in pursuit of a free Medio and a chance at forbidden love? Whew, that sounds great. It's received also a number of starred reviews, and I'm always excited about a new debut author. Check out some new writing. So those are the books that I'm most excited for this month. What books are you most excited to read this month? Anything coming out that is exciting? Feel free to reach out to us. You can contact the library, me, at info@hudsonarealibrary.org and share your suggested reads for the month, and we'll share them on an upcoming show. And hopefully next week I'll have some teens with me to talk about some more books that we've been reading. Maybe it'll be some of the ones I mentioned today. We'll see. But in the meantime, we hope everyone has a great week, reads lots of good books. Happy reading!
WGXC 90.7 FM, Aqua, Catskill, Hudson, New York, 90.7 FM. Listeners reported. It's radio for open ears, open heart, open hands, and open mind. We give thanks again to you for supporting WGXC all through the years, and then I hope that you stay with us.
Tune in to Radio for Open Ears, Monday, March 18th. Brendan Donegan gets things going with the Morning Sampler at 11 a.m. Then Lincoln Mayorga has the Monday Musical Matinee after the new news on 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting from the Columbia Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC. We're here in front of our studio audience, preparing to bring you the word shop.